So, as I put the word together this week, because last week I was not really feeling well, the Lord led me to humility, being humble before the Lord. And we live in a very prideful world, don't we? Yeah. Very prideful world. Let's pray, guys, before we start this. Lord, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory, Lord. We just give you all that we are to you. We just ask for your blessing over this message, Lord. We ask for blessing over your word. I pray that it would resonate in our hearts, Lord, and at the end of this, Lord, we could just see the need to be humble in your presence, to be humble in all that we do, Lord, because your hand is upon it when we approach it in your strength and in your power and in your glory. In Jesus' name. So, one of the most interesting things when I became a believer, before I became a believer, I used to have a perception about Christian men. Christian men were weak. Christian men were either super, super weak or way over the top nuts. You're going to burn in hell if you don't, you know. You know the types that I'm talking about. And so those were really the only two people that I ever really ran across until Ground Zero. I spent 14 months at Ground Zero working intimately with a guy named Don Acker. Don is now gone to be with the Lord, but he was a missionary to Zimbabwe. He had been a missionary to multiple places. He was working for Samaritan's Purse, doing all kinds of building evaluations after natural disasters. So this guy, and he was a Vietnam vet, this guy had seen more stuff than anybody would ever want to see. And we developed a really good friendship. And of course, it was based on fishing. And over the years of fishing and talking with him and hunting, and over that 14 months, Don began to share with me the Lord. Now, mind you, Don was the first guy, Christian, that I ever met that I didn't perceive to be weak or crazy. He may have been a little crazy, but he wasn't weak. And so when the Lord called me to come to him, you know, I submitted myself to him in May of 2003. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to become a weak Christian. I'm going to become some weak guy that's going to be really passive and really just, oh no, I don't want to be that guy. And if y'all know me, I'm pretty much not that guy. I'm not. It's all good. So through my walk with Christ, through ministry out in South Dakota, I met the Hellfighters. I met the Melchizedeks that are a local group. These guys are bad hombres that are believers. They deal with Hell's Angels. So we have this perception in the world that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a weak, mild dormant. Does that make sense? Well, we're not. We don't have to be weak. We don't have to be beat down by the world. We're going to talk about humility, and we're going to talk about humility in a little bit of a different perspective. There's a couple. All right, Lord. Humility is one of those things that we can see false humility in people. Like, oh, I'm just less than everyone around me. That's false humility, folks. Because we're not less, right? As believers in Jesus Christ, we're all heirs of the throne, so we're all in the same place. We're equal across the board. Or you see those that are... All right, who's messing with me? It's the youth, I'm telling you. Or we see the people that are actually genuinely humble, who realize the power and the authority and who they are in Christ. And when a person can grasp truly who you are and you walk in the humility of the Lord, you can change everyone's life around you. And so Rick Warren had a saying, And he said that humility is not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking of ourselves less. Humility is not about us, it's about everyone around us. Think about that. Another one is true humility is not an abject, groveling, self-despising spirit. It is but a right estimate of ourselves as God sees us. How does God see you? God sees you as righteous. God sees you as pure. God sees you as a created being. He's never left you nor forsaken you. You're not less than in God's kingdom. The humble walk that out. And this is my favorite. Humility is not the same as timidity, being timid. Humility is a virtue. Being timid is a disease. We live in a society filled with timid people who are afraid of everything and scared of everything. But when we are humbled in the Lord and we are walking in the Lord, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Over 300 times, the Lord tells us not to be afraid in the Bible. How many times are people afraid? All the time. All the time. Proverbs 22:4. Humility is fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. A couple months ago, I spoke about having a reverence for God, a fear of the Lord. What is your fear of the Lord? I'm afraid to be separated from God. I'm afraid to be away from God, I'm not afraid of God. I'm not sitting here waiting for God to turn me into a frog or a toad or ash. But I'm afraid to be away from God. I'm afraid to be out of God's presence. I'm afraid to be out of God's will. And so when we look at our fear, as we enter Christ with humility, which is really truly submission to him, we can be afraid to be out of God's will. We can be afraid to be out of that. But when we actually walk in the fear of the Lord and we walk in humility, there are riches to come. It may not be money, because God just doesn't throw bling around to us. But the riches are not here, but the riches are in heaven, right? Scripture tells us that. There's honor. We may not be honored here for the things that we do, but God will honor us when we go to heaven. And there's life. When you walk in humility and you walk in the Lord, life is 10 times better than you can ever imagine. I remember being out of God's will before salvation and even after salvation. There are times when you are walking out of God's will and life is brutal. He is yearning. He's calling you back. There are stumbling blocks. There are things falling in your way. And your whole life starts to crumble. But then when you get in the will of the Lord and you get in the will of the Father, you begin to have life. You begin to feel joy again. You begin to feel life. See, a reverent fear of the Lord is needed to have a full life in Christ. We need to have that. We need to have a humble reverent for God. Pleasing God above and above all things is the most important thing in our life, or at least it should be. Many people do not. Many people like the things of this world. Philippians 2, 3 through 8. I'm going to read the first four verses, and then first two verses, and then I'm going to go on. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. We live in a society today that is all about, I need to get mine. Right? We live in a society today that tells us that I need to have the best car, I need to have the most money, I need to be seen, I need to have prestige, I need to have all these things. I need to put me in front of other people. And it's everywhere. We're actually now seeing it. It's a Western mentality, but we just saw it all happen when they opened up Starlink to multiple cultures in South America, in Brazil. The kids became lazy. They only focus on their phone. Everything is about them. The culture that they lived in was all about working together as a community. And as soon as they got the internet, it crashed their culture. Because ultimately, TikTok, all the internet, all that stuff is all about me propagating myself above. I need to get the likes, I need to get the shares, I need to get all that crazy stuff. But the problem is even more systemic than that. In the year 2000, the government started tracking volunteers and how many people are volunteering. We are in an epic decline. It used to be about 51% of people would volunteer throughout our nation. Now think about that. That's EMS, that's firefighters, that's people at schools when schools needed help. It could be at churches. It could be a multitude of different things that people used to volunteer at. Soccer games, basketball games, Little League, whatever it is. It's on a decline. We can't get people to volunteer. Why? Because our culture has now turned from, hey, it's a community, let's take care of each other, to a community, it's about me and my pride. What am I going to get out of it? Now, that is kind of an alarming statistic to me. It's down about 7 points, so it's about 44% of people right now are volunteering. And by the way, guess who the most volunteers are? It's either youth or people 45 to 55. In between, you guys volunteer less. But anyways, we're also seeing that decline in the military. We have less people willing to go into military and put it on the line. Humility and scripture tells us that we need to take care of the people around us, to put people before ourselves. Because when we do ministry, there are multiple times people will come and they're like, hey, we want to pay you. I never ask money for deliverance. I never ask money for premarriage counseling. I never ask money for a wedding. I don't do that. And the reason for that is because I believe it's part of our community. It's a community service. It's something we should do to bless people, that if we can give them knowledge and we can give them help to grow as who they are and to set them free or help them know who the Lord is more, then we're doing what God's asked us to do. Right? It's about pouring into people, never about pouring into ourselves. Scripture goes on and it says, in our relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in his very nature God, did not consider equally with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Today we're going to take communion. Jesus took his humility to a place where he would die for you. Jesus took his humility beyond just, hey, I'm here, and I'm a meek guy. Think about what Jesus went through on that cross. He's there. All he had to do was say, I'm done, and call angels. All he had to do was say, and whatever he wanted would have happened. But he didn't. That is a humble God. That is a humble servant who, even to his own death, gave us life, right? Because without him, we don't have life. We can only have life through him and through what he did on the cross. See, God cared about, Jesus' heart was about the people, was about those that were around him, was about you and about me and about the love that he had for all of humanity. That was his heart. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Where's our mindset in our culture today? Where's our mindset in what we have in America? I love a barbecue. But where's our mindset? Because our mindset is not on Christ and is not on the individuals that are hurt, that are lost, that are broken, that are battered. It happens, and it's just the way that things have worked out. That we focus more on ourselves many times than we do on those around us. Those around us that are broken, that are battered, that are in deep need, matter. Jesus loves them just as much as he loves you. It's Jesus' humility that we should replicate in our life. That replication is to serve mankind, to serve those around us. And I'm not saying you all need to start ministries or jump through hoops, but what I'm saying is y'all have neighbors, y'all have families, y'all have parents, y'all have people around you. You have people around you that you can serve in humility. This is where redemption came from, right? We all love the story of redemption, what Jesus did on the cross. Redemption came through humility. Redemption came because a man said yes, and he didn't have to. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus speaking is humble in heart. Our lives must be filled with humility. A humility that emulates Christ, that understands who Christ is, that walks in a submission to Christ. The gentleness and the humility of Christ, if you've never experienced that, is an incredible thing. I've talked about this before. When I was 19 years old, my girlfriend at the time got pregnant. She had an abortion, and not being saved, not understanding, living in the world, thought that was perfectly fine. At the altar, this is the gentleness and the humility of God. At the altar, as I was crying out one day for God to forgive me, I can swear to you that I heard a child's voice say, "Daddy, it'll be okay. I'll see you when you come to heaven." That's gentleness. That's humility. God had every right to send me to hell for that, but he doesn't. God has a right to send you to hell for every sin that you've ever committed, but he doesn't. Because he loves us and he cares about us. And he is gentle to us, and his yoke is light. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Pride brings destruction to lives. There are people right now celebrating their pride this month and months to come. There are going to be a day of reckoning that they will face. There will be a day in the judgment seat that they will face. And I pray that God calls them long before that happens to see the humility of God in their life and the love that God has for them. See, pride by its nature says, I am the most important thing in my life. We have a project right now up in Maine. We're going to have to talk later about that. And I'm listening to the guys talk. I'm always an evaluator, just the trainings and the things that I've done from being a ground zero and a lot of the disaster things that I've done. I always listen to people and to kind of get the feel who wants to be the boss and who thinks they're the boss and who I'm going to end up probably punching in the field. Okay? And so there's this gentleman, and it was interesting. As we're sitting there and we're listening, and he's like, well, you got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this. And the reason that our client at this time has called us to go do the job is because of a particular individual who is a very, very stern, straightforward, cut and dry, this is the way it is guy. The project we're working on is extremely sensitive, and I can't give you any more information than that. But so I watched these guys in our phone calls. We're going through all this stuff, and then the pride came out. Well, I have a degree in sociology, and I have a degree in this, and I have a degree in this, and I have a degree in that, and I know how to talk to people. But our client wants that guy who's going to be tough and stringent and regulative, and he's going to tell these people what they need to do, and probably not always in the nicest way. And this guy was like, well, you know, he swears at him sometimes. I'm like, you ever work with drillers? And the guy looks at me and says, sometimes you might have to swear at them to get them to understand what they need to do. I don't swear. I try not to swear anymore, but every once in a while it happens. We'll talk about that later too. But the end result was I watched this guy's pride elevate himself above, actually sit there and tell my bosses, my boss, and all, like, well, this is what we need to do. We need to be kind to these people, and we need to approach them, and we need to get them on our side. This isn't the project to do that, because if there is a failure in this project, it is going to cost the company millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. So we don't have room to play around. I want the hard guy. You know, not the guy that thinks he's a theologian. But anyways, pride is everywhere we are in our society. It's all around us. I hear me roar all the time. But pride, by its nature, will destroy people in the end. And why? Because pride doesn't listen. Pride is not teachable. Pride is arrogant. Pride takes truth and suppresses it to the person's opinion. Humility brings wisdom. Right? Knowledge is information. Wisdom is how to take that knowledge and use that knowledge. Pride does not take any knowledge. It only takes its own knowledge and its own wisdom. Where humility will use the information that you have and know how to approach situations and know how to treat people and know how to work with people. It will grow people. Our relationship with Christ can only come through humility. A lot of times when I talk to people and they're like, well, I'm really having a hard time hearing the Lord, I ask them, you know, how much do you pray? Do you read the word? You know, you go through this whole list of things. And the answer is, well, I don't pray. I don't really get a chance to read the word. Is God a real person? Yeah. God's a person, right? Jesus is a person. Holy Spirit's a person. You want to have relationship with him. It's like any other person that you have. You got to spend time with them. Humility comes in time. I've been married to my wife for 31 years. We've been together for almost 31. 31 in a couple days, right? And we've been together for 32 years. I can promise you that over 31 years, she has humbled me multiple times. Because why? Because we have relationship. She can tell me things that if any of you said it to me, we'd probably end up in a fight. You're laughing, Pastor Ray, because you know it's true.
Well, I have an altar call before we do.
But when Jerry comes to me, she doesn't come to me with teeth and claws. She comes to me with the right heart. When we come to the Lord, what's our heart like? Is it, hey, God, we got this problem. You need to come down here and fix it. Or is it, Lord, we really need your grace and your mercy here. See, oftentimes when we enter into prayer, whenever we enter into things, we enter into them with our own perception, my own concept, what we want God to do. God's not a puppet. God is not a puppet for us to call down to take care of things. He is a sovereign God, and we are his servants, and we are in submission to him. And when we are in submission to him, he can do whatever he wants, even when we don't like it. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are a lot of times I don't like it. But I submit. We're going to go to the book of James. Now, James writes this book. He's talking to a bunch of people that are believers that are spread out and they're scattered. And James is really soft and fluffy. He speaks truth, and he speaks truth direct, and he speaks people truth right on it. James 4, 4 through 10. You adulterous people, don't you know that fellowship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell within us? But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. He's talking to a bunch of people that were living life in the wrong way. He's throwing down. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. How many times has God performed a miracle in your life? In humility, many, many years ago, the Lord, Jerry and I had been raising, let me rephrase that, Jerry was raising pigs. And the Lord told Jerry one night that she needed to give the 5 pigs away. Now, we were raising them to sell. So what do you do in submission to the Lord? There was a little tussling going on, I could promise you. Really? Lord, what? This is many years ago. And so Jerry gives the 5 pigs away, and a couple to a couple families in the church and a couple other people that just needed meat. It was weird to not get paid for something, but it was freeing at the same time. Watch God give favor to Jerry and to I as he replaced whatever we would have gained in finances for the pigs. He replaced it in other avenues where people gave us things. And he gave us favor. He gave us favor. I walked into a business that had 10 fly rods sitting on the ground. And I was like, hey, man, what are you doing with those? Oh, those are all returns. We're sending them. We're going to go throw them in a dumpster. You can have them if you want them. 10 fly rods. That's like $1,500 worth of fly rods. I was like, God's economy, it does kind of work out. But I also find it interesting in verse 6 where it says that he gives us more grace. How can God give us more grace than he's already given us? In relationship, when we dive deep into the Lord and we are walking in humility and we are walking into submission to the Lord and you are in deep relationship with the Lord, the grace of God flows out of him into you. You don't always have to go and ask for it. Does that make sense, PR? It's not that he's giving you any more grace than you can already give. It's just the way that he gives it in that intimate relationship. It just flows to you. That forgiveness, that love, that joy, that kindness, that peace. When we are humble and we have submitted ourselves to the Lord, verse 7 tells us, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. It is an absolute key for spiritual warfare. If you're going to step into spiritual warfare, do discernment ministry or whatever else it is, you better go with the right heart. And that heart is a heart of submission. That heart is a heart that God is the authority. We never do anything. God does everything. We're just willing vessels. See, I remember a young man that walked into Pastor Ray's office. He said, all right, that was really cool. Let's go do deliverance ministry. And he said, no, I don't think so. Not yet. That man was me. Because I thought it was all about my power, my strength. Humility in the Lord. Humility as we approach him breaks the bonds that the enemy has on you. Humility is probably one of the most key factors in growth into mature Christianity. That's my opinion. Because in humility, you're not placing yourself in the forefront, you're placing God in the forefront. In humility, you're knowing where your power, the authority, and everything is coming from. It's not what you have done, it's what he has done through you. You're giving God the honor, you're not taking the honor. We need to have a relationship with Christ based on the humility that he modeled for us and based on the biblical concept of humility. It's not about you. It's not about what you can do. It's not about what you should do. It's about what he wants you to do. It's about his will, right? And so I asked myself some questions. You know, how do I know what I'm doing is it prideful or is it humble? You know, and here's some questions to help you guys maybe understand some of the things you're doing, if they're being prideful or if they're being humble. So ask yourself the question, who will be magnified by my actions? When you're going to go do something, who's actually going to benefit? You or someone else? Ask yourself the question, simple, why do I want to do this? And what are my motives? Or what are my motives? Why do you want to do something? Is it because God's called you to do it, or you want to do it so that you can become the man or the woman? Who will be edified when you do something? Are you the one that's going to be edified, or is God going to be edified? Because right, everything that we are supposed to do is to edify the body of Christ, right? Isn't that what Scripture says? Will this further the kingdom or myself? Why do I want to or not want to be involved in a ministry? What is God trying to teach me in this process? That's always a tough one. Did I handle the situation with the right biblical heart? Am I responding out of fear? Am I being competitive or honoring God? Now, I remember a gentleman who used to beat up on 8th and 9th graders with dodgeballs when we played dodgeball with them. And it was kind of always funny to me, like, wow. So are we going to honor God, or are we going to be competitive with those around us? Are we being realistic toward the situation? Or simply, why am I telling God no? Sometimes God calls us to do things and we say, no, no. We tell God more no than most people, but anyways. When we come to the Lord in humility, we draw near to him and he draws near to us. That is a biblical principle that will never change. As you draw near to him, he will draw near to you in humility. When we are in submission to him and we have a heart for him. God will give you favor when you are in submission to him. That's just the way it works. We will grow in the knowledge of God's grace upon our lives when we are in submission and humility to him. We will gain wisdom on how to handle situations and to deal with things. And we will be empowered by him to do whatever it is that he calls us to do. We're going to take communion today. I'm going to encourage you all to come to the table, not as just, hey, it's communion, we do that in remembrance, but come with a heart of humility for what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We do that blood in remembrance, or we do the wine in remembrance. We do the bread in remembrance of what he did for us. In that submission to him, in your submission to him, even in this simple symbolization that we do, there's freedom.